Yo, we're back here on Nitro Game Injection. Larry OG, of course, along with the main man, NGI creator Kyle JCRB. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Larry. Not much. Hey,
nothing going on with him. All right. So clearly, our guest right now is not a big deal. The guy's a piece of crap. The guy's a piece of crap. So, I mean, you know, nothing much going on.
No. Nope.
Right now, we got nothing. We got another soundscape.
No, we got another
OC
soundscape.
Remix.
Yep.
Oh yeah, right. Another soundscape, OC Remix Judge, and now multiple-time Xbox Live Arcade professional video game composer, Matthias Hagström Järt. I hope I didn't butcher that. Awesome, man, dude. He's joining us all the way from Sweden. How's it going, Matthias?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not tired, even if I may sound like it. I'm psyched to be here.
Oh, excellent, man. So we've got the IKEA, you know, Swedish invasion. It's IKEA Fest here on Nitro Game Injection. And man, I just want to say, it's really cool having you on. I mean, obviously, Matthias has been a part of the OCR Judges panel, but this is actually my first time, you know, getting to talk with Matthias live. And, you know, so this is NGI exclusive, thanks to
Basie
Kyle.
Live Direct.
That's right, man. So, dude, let's get right into the interview style. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into video game music.
Well, since I'm your average Swedish geek, I had some gaming consoles. I liked the music and I did some music. That's basically it, you know. I started
That's
making music.
Super,
when I
was like, super exciting. No,
I know, right?
I heard some music. I like the music. I made some music.
So we made it. Making some. Yes. Makes sense to me.
Go ahead. You're gonna
keep it clean and simple.
No. So you were gonna go a little bit into detail on how you actually got started.
Yeah.
How did you get started in game music?
Way back, we're talking 2003 or something. I don't know. I started, you know, playing some electronic instruments, like some keyboards and whatever. Hooked it up to the computer and I thought, man, I'm gonna make some awesome music. And then
Matthias, did you have any previous musical experience before that? Or, you know, like, were you taking lessons? Were you doing anything like that?
Well, my whole family is like, they're really musical. Both my dad and his wife works on the Royal Swedish Opera. And my mom's, she's a song teacher. So I've had a lot of music theory stuff, you know, from way back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't use it, but I have it.
Okay, that's hilarious. I've got all this background. I don't really use it.
You don't really need it.
My life. Yeah, dude.
Hey, it's here and it's cool to talk about. But really, I actually started playing guitar like all the other noobs everywhere.
Yeah.
And wanted to make awesome metal remixes.
Uh-huh.
And I put out some horrible Zelda medley thing on VG Mix way back. Yeah, yes way. Under a secret name you'll never know.
Oh, come on, man.
I probably even have it. Who knows?
No way. Anyway, oh, no from way. That I went to see Remix because I realized they kicked so much more ass. And I submitted some piano jazz that sucked. But eventually I got what it was about and did the Voices of the Livestream and got my act together. And it started there.
So, like, not to put over OCR, like, too strong or anything like that, but, you know, and no hate on VG Mix, you piece of crud. But in terms of you were saying that, you know, you started, I guess, seriously attempting, you know, trying to get a remix posted on OCR. Like, I mean, did any of the forums help, or were you just kind of listening to other mixes and getting a feel for what, you know, they were looking for? Like how did you go, oh, okay, now it's clicking, now I understand what they're looking for?
Well, I think the key for me was, at first I recorded like guitar or piano or what have you on this tiny portable studio by some crappy Japanese company called Zoom. And it was just horrible. I couldn't do anything with it. Then finally I got my computer and installed Reason, shameless plug. And it kind of went from there because I slowly learned how to, you know, work the stuff instead of just play it, you know, make it sound good.
Mm-hmm. Are you hitting up any like pro audio forums, or, you know, like outside of OC Remix, are you hitting some of the pro audio forums, or?
I'm basically self-taught, and I don't get around the internet much. It's mainly just the Propellerhead, because they're a Swedish company. I try to stay in touch with you know, both the developers and the forums and stuff.
Oh, nice. And so, you know, we're looking like for those people who don't know your work at Overclock Remix. I mean, you've already got a ton of remixes on the site. I think you got about 12 right now, and obviously, you know, there's almost no period in time where we don't have some sort of remix from you waiting in the wings to be posted, man. So you're really, really super prolific. Like, you're really getting a lot of mixes up in a short, pretty relatively short period of time, about like a year and a half.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, how do you stay so productive?
Well, I have no life. no, but really, you know, I have a super simple workflow. I pick up my MIDI keyboard, I start the program, and I hit the keys like crazy. And a few days later, I have a remix.
And it works out.
It works out.
Oh, what a punk, dude. It's totally down.
There's so many people who are just like, I'm going to kill you, man.
Nah,
for being
sorry. Seriously, though, I rely a lot on presets, actually. I get some cool presets, and then I try to, you know, I never make the sounds because it takes so much time. I take something that sounds good, maybe tweak it a little, and then I try to play, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have the musical instrument background, so it comes quite naturally with keyboard and stuff like that. I don't sequence any MIDI at all.
Nice. And, dude, let's go in a little bit. I know, Kyle has probably heard some of these soundtracks as well, man. Mm-hmm. You've been doing some good stuff in the XNA community for you know, developing original games on Xbox Live Arcade. So you've already got two out right now. There's R2, kind of a quick platformer, and then you've had the Perfect Match dating sim, which is nice and cool, like the dating game almost. Can you tell us a little bit about first, you know, like how you were able to get your foot in the door and do all that kind of stuff, and of course, how, let us know how your experience has been so far.
Yeah, well, actually it started with the Street Fighter 2 HD remix soundtrack, because but seriously, when you have that on your resume or whatever, you say, yeah, I've been in Street Fighter 2 HD remix, who's gonna argue?
Yeah, I'd hire you.
and to put it out there, because, you know, I was assistant soundtrack director for HD Remix. I remember when we needed to get the credits theme, and we needed to get it quick because Capcom was going to be demoing the game at a European game convention, and they're like, yo, we kind of need this quick. I'm sorry, we totally forgot to ask you to do it. So, you know, we need y'all to hook it up. Can you hook it up? And immediately, and literally, there was no thought except me and Dave were like, okay, let's get Matthias. We got to get him. Like, yep. This is great. And this was great because we're like, we wanted an excuse to get him on there anyway. And we thought it would be great because, I mean, one, his music is good. two, his turnaround is awesome. Like, I mean, he did his Leisure Suit Larry mix that we were hoping to get to present to Al Lowe at Genericon in upstate New York, and he turned it out in like a couple of days, you know, in a really creative, awesome remix that Al was really feeling when we played it for him and the whole crowd during his panel presentation. So yeah, I mean, you know, Matias was doing some awesome stuff on HD Remix. So you're saying, bro, that it helped open up some doors in terms of people going, oh, okay, well, this guy's serious business.
Yeah, definitely. I went to the XNA forums, it's like creators.xna.com or whatever, and I posted a, you know, composer looking for work kind of post. I had no website or whatever, but I put up HD Remix, and I got some emails, actually. The first one was from Oscar, who made Artoon, then.
And, yeah, from OK Games Company.
Yeah, OK Games. And he like, yeah, I want some your average techno. I think he said that. So, yeah, I put together some techno and got paid a ridiculous... Oh, it was so... it was a silly amount of money. It was like no money at all.
No, but I gotta
say thanks, here's 20 bucks.
yeah, it was kind of like that. I won't blame him. I didn't ask for much, but...
You know, yeah. Well, I mean, how long did it take you to put together the soundtrack for Artoon? Did it even take a long time? Because, you know, again, you're like you're saying, your workflow is very efficient. You can work pretty quickly to put things together the way you want it.
Yeah, well, he was actually on a deadline for the Dream Build Play competition, you know, for XNA Games. Mm-hmm. So I had, what was it, one and a half week or something. So it was really tight schedule.
Wow, man.
Yeah. Are you satisfied?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you satisfied with how it turned out? Because I liked it, and I'm not just saying it because we're talking to you right now, but I thought it was a good soundtrack.
Yeah, well, you know, if I take the deadline into consideration, I guess I liked it. But I would have liked to add some more, you know, strong melodies and what have you. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty happy because he paid me, well, not much. He promised to give me like 5% of the earnings. Uh-huh. It turns out it sold like really well. So I'm getting, what, $400 for 2 months of sales, like tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's pretty good. Nice. That's not too bad.
I was going to say, in terms of the sales being good, I remember I heard it plugged on the 1UP show before you know, all the kind of reshuffling of the staff. So and they were pointing out that it was a pretty good game on I think the conversation veered toward, you know, like what XNA titles are actually, you know, worth a damn, and Artoon was like,
Artoon.
Yep.
So that's pretty good, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You put the soundtrack out for free as well, so you know. Is that still up there? Like, can I
his website is down, but I put it up on my new exciting website, anoso.com.
New anso.com. That's right, man. Anoso. New and exciting.
Yeah, Kyle's got it right.
Anoso. A-N-O.
Oh, no, I can't spell. Wait, what?
ANOSOU.com.
Yeah.
That's more like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, get the rights to distribute all the soundtracks to give, you know, something back to the VGM community because, you know, you basically made my tiny career.
Well, you know, hopefully you're trying to blow it up now. Like, so now I'm kind of transitioning just because, you know, I really like getting to know a little bit more about your Xbox soundtrack work. So then, I mean, did Artoon lead you to getting the Onion Factory to contact you about doing the soundtrack for Perfect Match, or was that also Street Fighter? Like, or was it just you going out there and saying, "Hey, I'm looking for more work"? Like, how did that come about?
Actually, I got the work before Artoon was finished, but the deadline was like 3, 4, 5 months, so I had a lot of time to work on it. So.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's I noticed the thing about the Perfect Match soundtrack. It's a little more polished, more. It's got a more specific sound to it, I think.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that all day. And dude, and so actually, and you put out the soundtrack right through GameMP3s.net, right?
Controversial decision.
Yeah.
I remember that. Anyway. Well, tell us a little bit about why you put it out on GameMP3s.net, because obviously, you know, GameMP3s.net, where, you know, a lot of people get the, you know, illegal, you know, soundtrack downloads, you know, no two ways about that. But why the decision to put it up on there?
Since I live in Sweden, you know, the backwater country, the asshole of the world, it's a hard... Shut up. No, but really, it's a hard time getting any VGM without paying, like, we're talking way overpriced. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've downloaded a lot from MP3s, especially from, you know, I only download from games I actually own. I'm kind of proud of that. But I wanted to give an option, you know, I released some free game music together. So the people, I mean, the people downloading, they're obviously into game music. So I wanted to give them a free alternative that's actually legal, too.
And nice, I think nice, that nice. It gives a little bit more exposure to the game and to yourself as well. Might open up some new opportunities.
Yeah, there isn't any good, you know, legal distribution channels for VGM right now, so it was the best thing to do to get the exposure.
You were mentioning that you had more time to work on the Perfect Match. Now, when you were working with Onion Factory, you know, like what kind of direction did they give you, or was it basically like, hey, we can trust you to do it, let's see what you can do, and then maybe move on from there?
Now, you know, Nick Busby, the guy behind Onion Factory, he had a really set idea of what he wanted for the soundtrack. So he sent me like a short MP3 example of a track he thought would fit. And then I had to like interpret the style and whatnot and use my own techniques. So I had a pretty set frame for it.
How do you strive to fit the restrictions of a soundtrack while still giving the music your own personal touch?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm a music theory nut at times, but it comes down to, you know, finding what melodic phrases really work with the game. Like, is this sounding happy? Is this sounding cute? Is this, like, confused? And when you find someone, you have to stick to those notes or chords or whatever to you know, make it cohesive. But when I produce music, I use, the instrument I usually use, and I play them on my keyboard, so naturally it's still going to be my style.
Mm-hmm.
So, go on.
Oh, no, I was actually going to ask kind of related to that, right, and then the whole aspect of trying to, find that comfort level in matching what... the publisher is looking for, right? So I noticed with track 8 on the Perfect Match soundtrack, and, you know, anyone interested, they can go to vgmdb.net, you know, look up Perfect Match and look at that information as well. But so track 8, you have Lover's Lounge, the unused version, right? So obviously you had some stuff that got turned down. Was that something that happened? Was that something that happened a lot with this one? Like, were there more? Were there additional stuff? You know, unused tracks or like put us in that mindset. Like, how much extra work did you have to do to find a vision that really fit comfortably with what Nick was looking for?
Yeah. Since he was very set in his vision, you know, I had to bounce a few tracks, you know, back and forward. I did it all by email, sending some work in progress all the time. Some tracks, they have like 8 versions or something, and some have 5. Yeah.
Now, when we're talking about versions, is it really just something like, oh, I'm just going to change the lead sound on this one, or is it just like kind of, oh, well, it should be faster, slower? Like, what kind of revisions?
Do it again.
No, do it again.
Do it again.
Just straight up, do it again.
No, really. It was mostly changing perhaps an instrument he didn't like. He was pretty much against any kind of, synth sound. I had a few nice leads. As you hear in the unused version, there's a blippy synth lead playing an additional melody. He didn't like that at all.
All right. But overall, right, and, you know, obviously not trying to, like, you know, dig up any dirt or anything like that, but did you feel like Nick's direction, and obviously, you know, you got to make it to spec, so you need to make it the way he wants it, but did you feel like, was he offering particular, like, really pointed, insightful criticism here? Was it like, okay, well, everything sounds good, but... maybe touch this up, or was it just
He was really cool about it. It was mostly, you know, perhaps this should sound more like this. I was looking for this kind of sound. He was never like, no, man, dude, no way. He was really cool about it, and, you know, it worked out for the better, I think. All his criticism, it was valid.
Excellent, man. So, you know, obviously you just have these couple of soundtracks now, but, you know, you're working on something else. I know you hooked Kyle up, you know, with the skinny, like, hey, man, maybe we can play a track.
Yep.
On NGI. So tell us a little bit more about the current project that you're working on.
It's I don't even know if it's a company, but it's a guy named Matt Steenbach from somewhere in Canada. He hooked me up and wanted to do like a 2D platformer kind of thing, also for the XNA, called Kaleidoscope. And he has this awesome concept about starting in a black and white world and then collecting, you know, color pigments to gradually
color
in. So it's a nice concept. So I got hooked directly. And
That sounds good. That sounds really great. Cool.
I'm actually looking forward to this release just so I can play it. We came up with a concept for interactive music, actually, since when the game progresses, you know, you color more of the environment and whatever. Maybe the track should progress too. So I composed everything in like layers that we could fade in when you progress through the game.
Right. Oh, dude, that sounds really badass. So, maybe hook me up. maybe hook me up with some Xbox, man. Hook me up with a download code or something when that comes out. Yeah, man. Any idea when Kaleidoscope might be coming out? Like in the summer, the fall? Like how far out does it look like?
We recently lost an artist, actually, but the thought is to have it ready at least for Dream Build Play, which is deadline in August, middle of August, something. So, okay. So the game should be done.
Mostly done. You're also putting in some creative input on the game itself, right? You're not just composing the music. You've got some input in it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a rabid gamer, but since I've played so many games, I at least have a hum of what's good and what's not very good. So you know, he bounces idea back and forth, and I came up with some of the level concepts too, because there's going to be different kind of challenges for each world that has a different theme and a different music. So.
Oh wow, awesome, man! And actually, kind of related to that, right? Because you're mentioning how you you know, you have some creative input. Now, obviously, probably with R-Tune, that wasn't the case because the deadline was so tight. But was that ever the case with the Perfect Match? Like, were you maybe not so much like input on all the design and the layout, but did you get to see what the game would look like in terms of helping you shape the direction of the music, or were you just kind of going off the overall feel that you wanted?
Well, you know, the only thing he could supply me with was like the title screen.
Okay.
Yeah, artwork of the title screen, and that's it. The rest was just, you know, words. I still haven't played the game because community games haven't launched worldwide, but apparently it's not really very good.
What? Oh, man, come on, man. That's not how we do it, man.
Oh, okay. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's great.
Well, I got to see it, though, so you don't know. You don't know for sure. So, yeah.
No, that's true. You know, I never played it, ever. But some reviewers, they said they like the soundtrack, so I feel a small victory.
Well, there you go. it works out.
Now that's awesome. What is it? I would love to. Man, you got to hook me up with those reviews, man. I want to see the reviews that mention that the soundtrack is good, because I'll pimp you. You know, I'll be like, oh yeah, by the way, yo, go get it right here.
You really got to hunt down those, because the community games, they're not widely appreciated by the game critics or anything. They ignore everything.
I saw that. I know Jim Sterling from Destructoid. I think he had that little feature that he was trying to do, which is like, okay, guys, suggest to me XNA games to review, because most of the ones I've encountered have been crappy. So I need you guys to like wade through the crap and hook me up with what the good stuff is. So I understand what you're saying, in that there's some kind of like, there's almost a negative stigma right now getting attached to some of these games. And so it's harder for them, for the spotlight, you know, to shine on what's good if people just generalize the XNA games. So
yeah.
The issue here is, you know, you can release a game for free and you're supposed to get paid for it, but Microsoft gets a cut. Of course, you know, it attracts all kinds of developers just wanting to release anything, hoping it will sell so they can get, you know, some money to start off with. And that attracts a lot of crap.
Definitely. No, absolutely.
You know, it's user generated content, sort of, in a way. Yeah. And usually, well, I mean, user generated content for games, you know,
well,
it's not always the best.
If you look at something like, you know, DoD or OCR, it's obviously, it's entirely possible to do user generated content, but it's still awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not saying
we
can't do it.
We have the judges panel and all that. You know, the XNA, they just check if, you know, if there's something inappropriate for children or whatever. They don't have, like, a judges panel.
Yeah, they don't have... Yeah, there's not really quality control on whether it's actually a good gaming experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the old Nintendo days, NES days.
Yeah, you know what? Most people don't realize that. Like, you know, because everyone, Kyle, you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Due to almost, you know, there's almost a nostalgia. Well, there is a nostalgia bias because, you know, obviously, you know, NES is like 20 years old, and you know, you think back to the stuff that was awesome, but really, there was so much crap.
Yeah.
You know, and lest you forget, you know, and it's not just, oh, you know, what angry video game nerd looks at, which is like the crappiest of crap. There was like a bunch of middle of the road, not really good, you know, games that were coming out there, man. But all you're going to remember is the awesome stuff. So it is almost a similar thing where, like Kyle is, you know, like you're getting at, which is, well, it's a lot like the olden days, like the Atari, and, you know, I'm sure C64 had its share of just like, you know, it's just there, like games that are just there.
Yeah.
And they're not particularly good gaming experiences, but yeah, Matias, I wanted to get in a little bit. I know you mentioned to us before the show that you were big into the Final Fantasy series of music.
Yeah.
back in the day, like that, you're really big into that. And obviously, you know, like on OCR, you've got about four Final Fantasy ones up on the site right now. You got a fifth one that we're waiting to post from FF6.
Yeah.
And So tell us a little bit about, let's get into the specifics, because Kyle's a big Daytona fan, you know, so we all... So, you know, so yeah, so Kyle's a Daytona fan, you're a Final Fantasy fan, but can you get a little bit more into, like, what specific, you know, composers, what specific franchises have really inspired you, or at least that you're just really enjoying as a fan?
Yeah. I'm a big JRPG nutter, you know, when I started gaming seriously, it was like Final Fantasy VII at a friend's house, and it just went from there. But obviously, I liked the Final Fantasy series and Uematsu, so yeah, he's good, but, you know, I'm getting tired now. But, you know, there are some obscure stuff, like I'm always pimping Jade Cocoon. It's like the most awesome soundtrack in game ever.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention Jade Cocoon because I know you have like three remixes of it on OCR. And
that's right.
They're great remixes. Check them out. And the original Jade Cocoon soundtrack, I would agree, is also very good.
Yeah, it's Kimitaka Matsume. He's done like, he's not done anything, you know, worth really noting except Jade Cocoon, because it was this game made. Studio Ghibli, you know, from
1998. It was when it came out.
Yeah,
on PlayStation. Yep.
And they did this kind of Pokemon ripoff, but with Studio Ghibli graphics, and you know, it was kind of overshadowed by Final Fantasy and Pokemon and whatever. But oh man, that game has the most awesome art direction, the atmosphere. I could talk about it for days. I'm writing an academic essay on the subject.
Man, dude, and you're writing it, and you told me that before, and you're writing it in Swedish, so it's like you need someone to translate it.
Yeah, I could probably do it myself, but it would totally suck, but you know.
Well, I mean, you know, if we have anybody out there that could do it, I would love, you know, I would love to read something like that, because then again, it probably gets in all the theory behind it and all that stuff, which is, of course, you know, I don't know a damn thing about.
It's kind of dry to read.
Aw, boo. No, I'm sure you make it lively.
I do try.
I'm sure you make it really lively, but so what, you know, you got Final Fantasy, you got Jade Cocoon, what else are you really big into, like maybe what are some games that you really love the soundtracks, maybe you haven't had an opportunity to remix them yet, or you're almost intimidated to remix that stuff?
Oh yeah, there's a whole list, but Yasuhisa Watanabe, right?
Yeah, dude. Yak, mm-hmm. Dude. My
yeah,
man.
Senku no Ronde. That's an awesome game.
Oh, the soundtrack is so good.
And the game is awesome too. I got it at a bargain bin. At first it was like, you know, $70 or something, but then it went down to like 20 because nobody bought it. And it's this awesome versus shoot 'em up kind of thing with crazy Japanese visuals and the greatest soundtrack ever.
Yeah, Senko no Ronde has one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard, man. It's really, really... I mean, that's why... There's a reason why Yak is in my top two composers with Tim Follin. I mean, it's not like... I'm not necessarily saying that Yak is, like, the overall most consistent composer, because I've heard albums of his where it's like, okay, I like that half, but I'm not feeling the other half. But when he hits it, he really hits it out of the park. Like, it's just his... when he goes strong, it's really, really good stuff. So I'm glad you're a fan.
Yeah, he's got some crazy, you know, music theory stuff going on.
His stuff sounds difficult to remix. I'm actually surprised that you can, you know, even considering that, because I'll listen to his stuff. But then again, he does have some strong melodies and everything like that, that it sounds like you could be able to work with that.
Yeah, but it's like perfect already. I can't do anything with it. I tried doing some, you know, some concept work in progress stuff, but it just goes down the drain as soon as I, you know, do anything else than the actual source melody.
Oh man, all right, well, I don't know, maybe see, this is why I need to move to Sweden, right? Because I don't know how to make music, but I can definitely, like, if I were in the room with you, I could collab, like, all right, well, here's a way you could do it, like, you know, I can offer suggestions and stuff, right, Kyle? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I'd be like, do that. Come on, man. Like, you know, okay, let's try it. Let's go in this direction. Let's slow it down. Like, slow it down. There you go. Like, slow it down. Some of his themes are really intense. I mean, you could slow it down and deconstruct it that way. So, you know, I don't know, man. I just want a Yak remix, you know, out there. Like, I'm even looking, right? I'm looking at his VGMDB. He barely has any doujin arrangements out there either. Like, I think everyone's scared to remix his stuff, man.
Yeah, he's like progressive rock based. You know, most Japanese composers that are awesome, we're talking Hiroyuki, Watsuki, and Yak, they have roots in the, I don't even like them, but the Japanese prog rock band Cassiopeia. They play like crazy jazz with lots of guitar noodling.
Yeah,
that's basically... It's such a big influence, it's possible to do anything remotely like it because it's so technical.
Yeah, progressive rock side definitely inspires many Japanese composers, and I will agree, some of their stuff is very technical and probably not so easy deep. To remix.
Yeah.
It's DOD material. DOD people need to get on the train with this.
Yeah.
That's especially you hear somebody like Nord.
Yeah, Nord,
like,
could pick, you know, it up, take, I think. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that would be great, dude. Oh, I can't. Oh man, I gotta holler. Oh, dude, now I gotta holler at George. Like, hey, you know, go ahead, man. Here's something you could remix, man. Let's go for it. That would be sick. I mean, especially because you think of guys like Nord, Christian Picot, obviously Vert. You know, given some of the complexity of a lot of his stuff. You know, there are guys that have like that similar, you know, mindset.
Yeah, Prince of Darkness comes to mind.
Yeah, Prince of Darkness as well. Yep. So it's like there are people that, you know, I don't think it would be too daunting, to run with that kind of stuff. Any other soundtracks, Matthias, that are really like, oh, okay, I gotta at some point, you know, maybe take a crack at that?
Yeah, Omega 5, it's an Xbox Live Arcade.
All right,
it's so good. But speaking of, you know, Omega 5, I've actually tried my hand on that, and I've got a pretty serious remix coming up, so that may not be too far away.
Oh man,
awesome.
Oh man,
yeah. And we have some other titles that are just, you know, some mind-boggling music. We have like all the concept games with is it Kenji Ito? I think that's also, it's a gold mine of great tracks.
What game are you talking about?
Concept, CULDCEPT.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, concept. Right. Yeah, I have no idea what that is. I mean, obviously I've heard of it because
it's awesome. It's like card-based strategy RPG, whatever. It has some. It's an Xbox 360 game. The latest release, I think, or a DS. I don't. But it's really popular.
There's one on DS. Yeah, there's one on the DS.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, are you kidding me, man? Yeah, they have Concept Saga on the Xbox. With Kenji Ito involved on that.
Yep.
But they have so many composers on that soundtrack, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, man, some good names on there, man. And like, I noticed though, what, like, you know, you got Yak and you know, Omega 5, lots of Super Sweep, you know, lots of stuff published by Super Sweep. So I don't know. I mean, they published a Let's Tap soundtrack by Sega, which is that's another one where I'm like, oh shoot, you know, I got to be checking that out. That's a really good soundtrack. I pimped it on my Twitter. I'm like, that's a good one too. So
yeah, Super Sweep does some nice stuff. They released some soundtracks to some Dreamcast shooters like Chaos Field and stuff like that. That's plain electronica, but I'm so into it.
Yeah, and I'm seeing some Ridge Racer on there too, Kyle. Like compared to Daytona, are you feeling Ridge Racer or
Ridge
know?
Racer was pretty good, not bad.
Good that's it.
It's a good game. Got some good music. Yeah. It's a different feel, but it still works.
That's true. Yeah. I love them. Well, you know, my main thing is Ridge Racer 4. In terms of soundtracks, like I'm not familiar with any other Ridge Racers, but I'm really loving the Ridge Racer 4 soundtrack, which CompuFox actually turned me onto that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some badass stuff. That could be some other stuff to
work with. Yeah, R4 was awesome when it came out. So
really? What did that come out on?
The original PlayStation.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow, no shit.
And it's actually one of the best looking games on the system.
I was gonna say, yeah, because I've seen some visuals of it, so you know, I didn't realize that was PS1. Shit, I would have thought it was like maybe PS2.
Yeah.
It was in it was very late stages, but yeah, it was PS1.
Right. Oh man. Well yeah, it's like I mean when you think of you know, like late stage NES games like Kirby's Adventure, that was when they were really like maximizing the graphics and the, the sound, you know, like really late stage. Yeah, so I can understand that. But no, I'm sorry, getting back on track because, you know, Matthias has got some awesome stuff. So the reason I like asking, you know, you what you might work on is because, you know, again, your workflow is so good. You know, I give you 3 months. You could probably finish all those remixes at some point. And then, you know, then we'll be talking like, okay, well, you know, you got all that. What else, you know, do you want to do? But, you know, obviously, you know, I have some of the heads up on what you, you know, what you're working on for OC Remix and whatnot. But, you know, for the fans, can you tell them, like, what are some remixes upcoming that, you know, you're pretty much, you got to rap on and they can expect from you?
Yeah, I got two. I really, really think, you know, I think they're my best work. But I think every new remix I do is my best work. But the first is an Echo the Dolphin remix. It's really trippy electronica kind of left field. I was listening a lot to the band Played at the moment. It's really, you know, playing with time signatures and strange stuff, but without going overboard to, you know, the rock side of stuff. You're keeping it kind of low profile.
That's pretty
awesome.
Good.
I grew up playing Echo, and that soundtrack is kind of like very chill, laid back. There's like the music in that game. It doesn't stand out specifically, but I think it works great for the game.
It's fantastic background music. It's admirable.
Yeah, it knows really what draws it's trying you to in. Do, which is just, you know, create, kind of set that mood, like you're saying, Kyle.
Set the mood, the ocean mood.
Exactly. Yeah, Spencer Nilsson, man, he's got some good stuff, man. Don't forget Sonic CD US, which a lot of people will hate on, but you know, I thought it was awesome.
I love that soundtrack.
And they did that soundtrack, and they had to whip it up pretty quick. So you know, no hate on it. I thought it was good, though. I like it. I still like the Japanese more, but there's some. I think DJ Pretzel's I like the US one more.
Me too.
So so you know, there are people that are really feeling that one. You also got a Final Fantasy VI remix, Matthias.
Yeah, it's also kind of trippy, but I'm not very happy with that. You know,
are you kidding me, man? I love that one, dude. I gotta say, man, I've been playing that one, man. I love the breakdown in the middle. It's some good stuff.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I like is the breakdown in the middle and the bell sounds. I took so much time with those bells. I was going into Ableton Live and chopping stuff up and doing like this. Yeah, it's so much effects, you wouldn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, man, dude. So that sounds good. So let me ask real quick, Ray. You know, we've had you on for a while, but you know, we you're a member of the OCR Judges panel, and obviously, you know, I helped run that, you know, DLE.
No, what's that? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you shut the hell up, man. All right. Anyway, so no, I remember when you first came on the OCR Judges panel, and you're like, well, you know, it's great to be on, but you know, I'm not feeling like super confident in my votes. You know, am I coming at it the wrong way? But now, obviously, you know, you're voting a lot. You're looking really confident. Maybe like tell us a little bit, I guess, just like your overall feelings of being on the OCR Judges panel and how you feel about the experience. And this is, you do not have to kiss anybody's butt, but you know, there's good and bad. Like, we have judges that are lazy and stuff. So go ahead and, you know, tell them just What are your overall thoughts?
Yeah, that Larry OG guy, he's such an ass.
Well, I mean, besides me being an ass.
Yeah, okay, besides you being an ass, it's kind of nice. You know, I get to hear a lot of new material, you know, do my best to actually, you know, get the good thing posted. You know, everyone on the panel is really skilled, but some are working more than others, let's just face it. But, you know, right. Purplebot is really skilled. He's like, yeah, he's the ultimate judge. Sorry, Larry, he took the title.
That's You'll have right. to fight him for it, Larry.
Well, what I like, you know, match. Well, I mean, well, what I like, it's so funny, right? Because I remember, you know, there was like the days, right? It would be like me and Gray Lightning, you know, we'd be like,
yeah, judges, I remember right? those days.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm still like, I guess, you know, one of the most active. I would say, yeah, Vinny and Matthias are definitely just like, you know, putting me to shame right now. I still try and hit every track, right? But it'd be funny because, you know, we have some judges that'll disappear for like 3 months at a time, right? Then I remember one time me and Gray were like, all right, we're going to take a vacation. And Dave is, you know, DJP is like, what? You can't do that? It's like, wait a minute. We're the ones doing all the work. Then we want to take a break and we're not allowed to take a break, you know, when there are people that don't do anything. I'm like, wait a minute. How come we don't get a break? So it's like, you know. You know, it's funny, like when you start doing a lot of work, then it's just like expected that you're going to maintain that level of, you know, activity. So,
yeah,
you know,
I'm going to talk Vinny into leaving the panel with me.
Oh, that would hurt.
No, man, but but no, what I like though is, you know, and Matthias, like, you know, we've said many times now, he's got a great workflow. You know, he's really got, you know, the mindset for also, you know, really tackling a theme creatively, you know, really going for a creative interpretation. You know, I guess overall, right, you know, I'm sure there are people that are listening that want to make their own music and everything like that. What kind of advice would you hook them up with?
General advice. You know, at first I would say just listen, because the key thing is they do a remix. You know, when you listen to your own stuff all the time, you think it's awesome, you're getting used to it, but, you know, take some break, listen to something else, and then go back to it, see what's not making sense. Because I think a lot of people, that they rush their work too much because, I don't know, that maybe they're not confident in the workflow or stuff, so they skip a lot of important steps, you know, production wise.
Are there any, not necessarily that you remember like all the like gritty details, but I mean, maybe earlier on in your musical career, when you were still more in the learning phase, was there any sort of like big moment where, you know, you thought your stuff was awesome, and like that VG Mix stuff, right? The secret stuff. Did you really? I mean, you thought it was real awesome back in the day, and
yeah, I thought it was the bee's knees. It was like the best thing.
Like, did you get feedback? Did you get VG Mix feedback where it's like, when
yeah,
you look
actually,
at it
I got
now,
some
you're
good
like,
feedback. I'm still confused why I got some good feedback, but I got some good feedback. And you know, that just blowed up my ego to enormous proportions. I thought it was like so awesome. And then, you know, I heard some other stuff and realized I sucked.
Oh, man, dude. So, Let me ask real quick, right? You know, and thanks a lot for, you know, coming on with Kyle and myself. Ultimately, you know, you're doing these XNA games. You know, you're trying to get a little bit more involved, you know, on the creative side with some of these video games. You know, obviously doing HD Remix is really cool. Do you have any particular aspirations to be a professional game composer, or like, you know, professional film composer? Like, where is it all leading to, or at least where do you hope it all leads to?
Well, you know, it's hard because I'm still young. I'm only 20 years old, so I haven't really, you know, picked an education or whatever. But in the end, I really, really hope that I could score games, you know, for a living. But I don't believe I will, so I'm constantly, you know, trying to pick other paths at the same time. Maybe, you know, write music for, you know, TV, be a teacher or whatever. But, you know, game music, it's where my heart is.
For aspiring composers and musicians out there, do you have any like suggestions on maybe how to like even break into like the indie gaming scene, or even just game music composing in general? Some advice on how they might get into that?
Well, I think the key is, you know, not doing what everyone expects. I know I did it first, you know, I did the Artoon track. It was kind of, yeah, it was, you know, your general, you know, But I think the key is
okay. Making... I could listen to you do that for 10 minutes. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm awesome at that. You should know.
Please sample your own voice for a track one time.
Do a acapella beatbox track. That would be kind of dope.
I did that once, but it's totally secret. Maybe I can send you after the show or whatever.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. Secret.
yeah. But anyway, I think the key is, you know, making something that's not unique. I'm tired of people, you know, I'm trying to be unique, but do something that you feel comfortable with. You don't go away doing orchestral scores if you have no, you know, formal theory skills, and don't do rock if you can't play guitar. Stick to, you know, what you really like.
You're all about the stick-to-itiveness. What about, for example, though, right? What do you do then, right, to expand your repertoire? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you didn't necessarily learn how to do everything that you could do now instantaneously. So, like, I mean, and obviously other genres of music might interest you and you might pursue that. Is it, again, like you were saying, a sense of really listening and studying these tracks to, you know, get in the right mindset for composing in those styles?
You know, I've gone to music schools and stuff like that, and I played a lot of guitar, bass, keyboards, whatever. So I have a lot of styles, you know, in the backpack. But when I'm trying to learn something completely new, like when I didn't know shit about electronica, the main thing was, you know, listen to what other people does. Maybe try to imitate, and then, you know, take your own spin on it. Your own spin on it, even.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds good, man. So, you know, tons of, you know, informative stuff from Matthias, another soundscape who, for some reason, does not like his nickname, even though I think it's a really badass nickname. Because soundscape is apparently a genre of music that nobody's ever heard of, so he doesn't want to be confused with it, even though I think...
Yeah.
Even though I think his name is badass, but
no, soundscape is like, you know, when I go to university studying musicology, it's kind of a made up subject about music. But you know, they're very serious about the genre, so they come in there like, yeah, soundscape, it's about listening to nature, and I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, whatever, dude. Whatever, man. You can name it whatever you want. I like the nickname.
Every word out there has become like a musical genre or something these days. Who cares?
Exactly. But no, we've had Matthias Hagström Yeart, another soundscape.
You did it again.
I did it. You're awesome. Come on. I'm nailing it. I'm the man.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthias, give the folks one more a couple more pimps. Just again, your website, where they can listen to your stuff, you know, on OC Remix, you know, Twitter, anything like that that you want to plug.
Yeah, I say go for my website, you know. I'm trying to collect everything, anoso.com. Everything from, you know, blog posts on VGM to all my official releases and stuff. And obviously OC Remix, you know, for all the quality music and stuff.
Excellent, man. Well, I mean, Kyle, what do you think, man? How do you think Matthias has been on Nitro Game Injection?
I think it's been great to have you. Thanks for coming on and sharing your thoughts and your knowledge and your input on your work with the game music and remixes.
Hey, no problem, man. It was great being here. I'm a fan, you know.
Yes. Thank you.
That's true. Yes. He's not just a guy that we asked to come on the show. He's a regular listener.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Man. Yes. It was great. Love having these regular remixers, the regular listeners on the show. It's great.
That's right, man.
We've been here with Matthias Hagström Yeart, so known as another soundscape, and this has been Nitro Game Injection.
Good work.
Thank you. It was mostly your work.
No. I didn't do anything, man. I was just kind of like, dude, Matthias, talk. And he did. It was excellent.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, keep your eye on him, man. He's going places.
Yep. I'm sure you'll hear his music in many more games.
So. That's right, man. If I have anything to say about it, you know,
yep.
Please.
All right. Well, be sure to check us out online, kngi.org. As always, go there. Vote for us on Podcast Alley, please. Please do that.
I'll throw a vote. Okay, I promise.
You better do that, Larry.
I'm doing it.
Okay, good.
I'm doing it.
And of course, you can always follow us via your favorite RSS reader, iTunes. Keep up with the updates on Facebook, MySpace, LiveJournal. And of course, you can follow me and Larry on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
like a muffa.
And also, you can email us, kngipodcast@gmail.com. Leave voicemail feedback at 1-763-431-5121. And also, we now have an IRC chat channel available on irc.enterthegame.com. That's channel KNGI.
I'm telling you, man, like the way you want to communicate with all the fans, you're like, surround me with your love.
Mm-hmm.
Surround me.
So be sure to check all of that out.
So, yes, if you are on the internet, there are ways to get in touch with us. There are many, 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 many ways. We want you to use all of them.
Yes. Please talk to us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to hear. Or,
that's like what you say to like what you say to your lady when your just relationship is just not going well. Talk to me.
Exactly.
So, you know, our relationship with you folks is going so terribly. We're just like, talk to me, please.
No. It's going love, well. We love all our listeners.
Nah, we do. We do. We do. Y'all are great.
So thanks, everyone, for listening this week again.
Hmm.
And, of course, always check us out, kngi.org.
Before we go, we've got an exclusive cut from Matthias from the upcoming Xbox Live arcade game Kaleidoscope. Let's hit you up with track 4, Nitro Game Injection exclusive. Enjoy, y'all.
This has been Nitro Game Injection, number 119. This is Kyle JCRB.
And Larry OG.
And we're signing off. Good night.
And later, y'all. Yeah, I do need some sort of like shock treatment on saying you know.